Our first reading from Acts 2 talks about the great feast of Pentecost. Jesus would have called it Shavuot in Hebrew. This was the second of three great pilgrim feasts when male Jews were required to go back to Jerusalem. Wherever they lived in the world, they had to get on a train. No, they had to get on a camel, whatever it was. They had to get back to Jerusalem. It was also called the Feast of Weeks because it took place 7 full weeks. 7 is the perfect number. 7 times 7 is 49 days. On the 50th day, that's Pentecost, 50 days after Passover, the Feast of Weeks. It also is called the Feast of Sukkot, which is the Feast of Huts or Tents that commemorates the 40 years that the Jews spent in the desert before they got into the Promised Land. Now, all peoples, agricultural economies, would celebrate their agricultural feast and their religious feast, their faith feast, at the same time. And Pentecost celebrates the grain harvest. The first fruits would be brought to the temple. And, you know, when we think of first fruits, we should think of ourselves. When we think of the tares and the wheat, we should remember that we are going to be a first fruits offering to Jesus Christ on the day of the final Pentecost. Right? And if we're something in us needs to be burned away, I hope it isn't too big because we could be going in the wrong direction. I want to be burned and purified. I don't want to be burned and judged to hell. An acceptable grain offering, the first fruits. Our lives should be a first fruit offering to God of faith, right? Make of your life a living sacrifice, fit for the kingdom, going home to the final faith festival, the final pilgrimage, back to Zion, face to face with our Lord. That's the last Pentecost, and it's gonna be a mighty outpouring of the Spirit. And that fiery ring in that Zechariah prophecy, the fiery ring is gonna be around Jerusalem, and nobody will able to be, no evil will penetrate that fire of the Holy Ghost. Okay, that's the last Pentecost. I'm gonna preach about the first Pentecost and what it tells us about the fire of the Holy Ghost, about God coming into our temple, soul, mind, spirit, whatever you want to call it, every ounce of our existence. We have real trouble with this. Why is it one man who's 80 years old can go out and farm the land and do this and that, and a 35-year-old looks like he can't even lift another Diet Coke? Why is that? Because the 80-year-old has the power of the Holy Ghost in his body. That's how people get up and win games and preaching and do this and do that, because the Holy Spirit can penetrate anything. All right. And we get so like, we don't want it in our body. We want it somewhere else, in a candle or something. Fine, he'll go to the candle, but he wants to come to your body, soul, mind, and spirit. I never heard a candle preach the gospel. Have you? I never have. It's a purifying fire. Comes into every part of our existence. Acts 2:1 tells us that the first Christians, the apostles, and some women were all together. Isn't that beautiful? The apostles and some women. That just warms my heart. I hate to say this, but I'm old enough to realize that women are more honest than men. Can we just get a testimony? That is just true. It's just true. They're more honest in families. They're more honest in governments. They're more honest in the church. They are. And we should have more women around, us apostles or us priests, to keep us honest. Because a man works all his life to get his social standing, his social respect, his power base, and he ain't going to give it up. But a woman will walk right away from it. Woman will do the right thing more times than not. Praise the Lord for those women there. Right? Praise the Lord. Right? Keep in Pentecost with one mind. Acts 2:1 says they're in one place with one mind. It doesn't say that in our translation, but you got to be a Greek scholar. I mean, you don't like that version of the Bible? Write your own. Learn Greek. It says they're of one mind. When we come to church, we're meant to be in one place with one voice and one mind. Yet so many people come to church double-minded and two-faced, and bring the street culture into the church. That's a sin. You come here to make problems, you're sinning. If you don't want to put on the mind of Christ, go to a church where you can put on the mind they got there. Because that's the way it's supposed to be. That's what happens. That's when the Holy Ghost comes down. When you have people in here fighting each other, bringing their pleitos into the church, the Spirit ain't going to fall on that. The Spirit's going to run from that. You're going to have no baptisms in the Holy Ghost when that kind of nonsense is going on. One Spirit, one mind, one Lord, one church. The apostles and some women were of one mind. Keeping Pentecost, when we keep the festivals of God, right? It's Memorial Day. Thanks be to God. We're keeping the festivals of God. Everybody else out eating them pork hot dogs and stuff like that with filler and sawdust. And here we are keeping festival. Praise the Lord, huh? All right. And suddenly from heaven came a sound of a violent wind, and this sound filled the whole house where they were. Right? Then Acts 2:3, tongues of fire, the glory of God, little burning bushes. Moses saw a burning bush. You could have a little burning bush right on your head. Every single one of them, a burning bush over their head, because they were one mind and they desired to please God and they desired to have all God wanted them to have. And you know what? After that, the purifying fire will enter you. And you'll speak in different languages. We speak in different languages already in this parish. We speak English, Spanish, everything. We speak the Holy Ghost, right? And there's white people who want to come preach, hear the preaching in Mexican Spanish. They want to come in alabar el Señor con nosotros. Because we speak the language of love. We speak the salvation of love for all the world. Isn't that cool? Yes, it is cool. When we can look across cultural divides and say, come on, this church is alive. We speak in other language. All the Jews came back from other nations and they could hear the Galilean Jews speak in their language. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, God wants you to communicate salvation to other people. It's just as simple as that. To loosen our tongues so that others may hear. Have you ever noticed that we come to church and some people don't want to communicate with God? You do it, Father. You do it. You do it. You do it. Well, I got news for you. You do it. You do it. You do it. You communicate to God. I do plenty of it. I don't need more practice. And why is that? Why can't we communicate to God? Why can't we hear back to God? Because we're too full of the world. We go around praising the world and praising ourselves and praising stupid monkey business. We don't praise the Lord. And that fire is meant to be right over your head here in church. And we're too afraid. We're too afraid to open up our temple to God. This is the guy that's never going to hurt you. This is the guy that's going to always bless you, always have something beautiful to say to you. We have a closed spirit, though. If we can't eat it, see it, touch it, kill it, kick it, or do something with it, it doesn't exist. That's a closed spirit, a closed temple. We got to open ourselves up. It's a lack of faith to close off our temple. We haven't celebrated Pentecost, and that's why we can't communicate God. We don't have a story to tell because the Holy Ghost isn't living in us. We can't prophesy his message because our tongues aren't loosened yet. We can't announce his favors, but it's afraid that it might change our world. It will change your world, and it'll change it for the better. There's that television commercial. What is it, that Gatorade commercial? I don't watch much television, you know, just one program once in a while, you know. That Gatorade television commercial. Everything's black and white, but the Gatorade? That's the way our life is, and the only color in our life is the power of the Holy Ghost. Is it in you? Is he in you? Is the Holy Ghost coursing through your body? Is he empowering you to be a winner for God? If he is, praise the Lord. You know? If he is, praise the Lord and stir him up if you put him to bed too many times. Wake him up. Stir him up. Make some acts of faith. Alabar. Praise him. Do something that stirs him up. He's a fully alive God. You put him to sleep. Right? If he's in you, praise the Lord. And if he isn't in you, let's just admit that. People go around doing things, saying this. They're always saying they're sorry. Oh, sorry this, sorry that. And then they assume that God's in them. I'm not assuming anything anymore in my life. You really assume that he's in you, and then you act like that? What's with that? Are you really think he's in you when we go around cussing each other out and running people down and gossiping and lying and stealing and everything else? I don't think so, you know? I don't know. I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to judge you if he isn't in you, but I'll tell you this. When you come to this church and enter into one mind of worship and praise, there's a tongue of fire over your head. Or I'm a liar. There's a tongue of fire over your head when you enter into worship here with one mind and one voice. Right? But your own faith desire will determine if you get that power and you open your whole self to him. If you want that purification of the Holy Ghost, like Roderick said, to get all those evil strongholds out of you, man, you gotta want the fire in you. Now, somebody showed me some discernment or gave me some discernment about St. Helen. She says, we're a volcano for our Lord Jesus Christ. A volcano. Where does the power of a volcano come from? Does it come from the surface, the top of the volcano? No, it doesn't. It comes del profundo. It comes from the base. It comes from the deep inner recesses of the earth. And that's the way it should be for us. Our desire for the Holy Ghost should come from the deepest hope, the deepest place in our very being, soul, mind, body, spirit, personhood. That's where the desire should come from. And people wonder why we don't have the power of the Holy Ghost, and they give them a right knee once in a while. Some people don't even know how to genuflect anymore. They give them the left knee. That's a disgrace. You give them the right knee, but that's just an exterior. And once in a while, we make a little wave to God. We go by the church and we make the sign of the cross. Good, make the sign of the cross once a year. Genuflect once a month, $2 a month. That ain't enough to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Or I don't know what I'm talking about, but I got my faith diploma. I got my faith diploma already. We're supposed to be a volcano for our Lord Jesus Christ. And some of the lava is flowing. And it's going to get bigger and hotter. Praise the Lord. How about this verse, Revelation 3:16? Because you are lukewarm. Because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. I didn't say that. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. That's a scary verse. I don't know what to say about that other than I want to be hot. Maybe to be cold in faith is to have no faith at all. Maybe that's what that verse means. Maybe lukewarm isn't faith at all. Maybe just because we profess Jesus Christ, we aren't going to heaven. Maybe you should be hot about it. Maybe you should have the Holy Spirit in us, right? Because you're lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. Man, we should have that fire in us, man. The zeal of God's righteousness. We've got that cold love out of this church, man. And we're speaking the language of love, the language of Christ, that all men would be saved in every nation. Okay, that's a warm-up for what I'm saying now. God gives us a name here, the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, I'll give you another, the Father will give you another advocate, John 14. I'll give you another one. That means Jesus is our first advocate, and he's given us another advocate, the Holy Ghost. Man, to be an advocate, that means in Latin, advocare, to speak for another, to plead the case of someone who can't talk, who's got no power, to be a pleader for someone else. Right? Every situation we're in, we've got an advocate, the Holy Ghost. And there's so many times in life we don't know what to do. Even if we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, we don't know what to do. But we've got an advocate, the Holy Ghost, who's our pleader and our advocate. When we don't know what to do in life, we ask him and we hear back from him. 1 John 5:6, the Spirit is the one that witnesses. The Spirit is the one that speaks up because the Spirit is truth. Whew. That advocate in you is going to speak up for yourself. I'm not going to take it anymore. Right? That's what women say, right? I'm not going to take it anymore. You know, when a woman gets baptized in the Holy Spirit, the marriage changes, doesn't it? Woo! It's so cool to see. Can I say this, Lord? Yeah. In the Mexican culture, sometimes the women don't get the best shake, okay? Not yet, anyway. But then when they get baptized in the Holy Ghost, oh my God, the women speak up. The women speak up and tell the truth. What a blessing. What a blessing to have the truth come out once in a while. Okay. The Spirit will speak up. And maybe you haven't heard him. Maybe you don't think he's around. But go to an authorized Christian, full of fire, full of somebody who's got discernment. I'll tell you something that comes from God. God gives me that gift. I'll tell you, and then you'll understand it. And we'll both know. But you want to test me? Go ahead. 1 John 4:1. Test the spirits and see whether they're from God. Test my messages. Test the advice I give. Does it line up with the word of God? Is that person obedient to legitimate authority above them? Has advice and discernment from that person borne fruit in other people's lives? You can test me and test the spirit as long as you want. Go right ahead. Right? But you'll get an answer, and it will come from God, and he's your advocate. I'm just some podunk mouthpiece who's been given the gift of preaching, right? This is an advocate that doesn't sleep. If you got an advocate, a lawyer, an abogado, when you go to that lawyer, you want one that doesn't get tired of fighting. You want one that you think is always working on your case. Well, I tell you, there ain't none of them like that. They all go play golf on Wednesday or do something, whatever they do, right? And you want a lawyer you can always get on the phone, and you'll talk to his secretary, and she'll hang up on you too. Right? You want that fiction. Well, this guy is the guy, the real advocate. I met that advocate. He's the God of Israel. He's always there in our need. That's reason enough to want the fire of the Holy Ghost. We get in family fights, and holidays come around, things are going crazy in the house. How would you like to have an advocate right there? Could tell you what to do, you know, like they could tell you how to solve that situation that's right there in your house, an advocate for you, right? Okay, he's going to teach you all things. This is funny. People think, well, God tells me how to go to church or something. Well, now God can teach you about how to go to church. He can teach you about math. He can teach you about physics. He can teach you about business. He can teach you how to love your wife. That's pretty good. He knows better than you how your relationships could go. Ask him. He'll teach you everything. Right? He pleads the best case, and he pleads the best case for each one of us individually. Right? At every stage of our life. Now, what is the Holy Spirit saying in this day and age? Who is the Holy Spirit advocating for now? And I hope some of you anticipate what I'm about to say. The Holy Spirit is advocating and advocating in us that we would share his advocacy for children. Children are being used and abused, neglected, sexually exploited, prostituted all around the world for sick adults. And it's happened in the church. And the Holy Ghost is trying to get this stuff out in the open. What is done in darkness will be shouted from the rooftops. Better that you are not born with a millstone around your neck than to go against one of my little ones. Right? They've got an advocate. And that advocate is telling them to speak up. Expose what goes on. It's clear. It's clear that this has got to end. Children are getting royally abused in this world. And I hope the media starts bringing these stories to the forefront, because they're being punished for the sins of their parents, the curses not yet broken by the blood of Jesus. 1 Peter 1:18 says, the futile conduct passed down by your ancestors, will you put the blood of Jesus in faith to that, and we can break those curses, and you won't go around doing the things that would happen to you, right? You know, these kids always have an advocate. They always have, they always will. Psalm 71:6 says, from their mother's womb, God has been their portion. God has been their protector. Man. And this advocacy takes many forms. God will send kids who grow up in crazy families, he'll send them friends, he'll send them protectors, he'll maybe send them a relative or something like that. He'll send them a good coach. He'll send them second fathers and mothers. That's what he firstly does to them. The second thing he gives them is strong minds. Whew. And that advocate's whispering in their ear, don't give up. You're a little street kid in Mexico City, don't give up ever. Don't let them break your spirit. That's God in them, keeping them alive, right? Unbreakable spirits. And the next thing God gives them is a love for the word of God, a two-edged sword, right? You come against me with X, Y, Z of this fallen world. I come against you with the word of Jesus. They find a Bible. You know, people grow up in houses, they got all sorts of ugly things in that house. But there's always a Bible somewhere. And those kids will hunt down that Bible. They'll hunt it down and they'll read it cover to cover. And it's their two-edged sword. It's their protector. It's the advocate in action. Right? saving them and warning them when no one else will. This is hard to hear, but it is the truth. Lola Bryant was a Mexican gal married to a white guy, Chris, and she was just appointed to the Clovis board, a school board. That's cool. The Spirit's moving there, even in Clovis. Praise the Lord. I'd like to say that. The Spirit's moving in Clovis. She was appointed unanimously. She's a good advocate for kids. She doesn't back down on doing what's right. And I'd like to tell some stories about Lola, but it ain't time yet because she didn't give me permission yet. But sometime I will. That's what we need, people who stand up for things, man. We're all calladitos, we're all silent about everything. It's so obvious, it's right there in front of our faces. What goes on in church, what goes on in families, what goes on in governments, and everyone sits there like we don't know what's going on. Why doesn't someone stand up and say the truth, man? Bobby Kennedy advocated for civil rights, Reverend Martin Luther King. The advocate in them rose up and they said, this is right and this is wrong and we're gonna fight it. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Jesus is our advocate and there he's gonna send advocates for us. And people, these advocates are really a pain in the backside. But thanks be to God, we have a world. At least we have a country now. You don't get thrown in jail just for advocating the truth. In the coming world, the future Antichrist and the UN commissions and the war crimes tribunals and all these high mucky mucks in behind closed doors, they may not let us say the truth and they may not let us advocate for Jesus Christ. But until that time, we should be doing it. We should be standing up for convictions and what we believe in and advocating for a renewed church. Right? What have we advocated since I've been here? We've advocated for fathers being the faith patriarchs of their families. We've been doing it for 5 years. It's like sticking a finger in the dike. It's got to be said, though. It's got to be said. The Spirit is saying he wants men in church. He wants them to take their responsibility and pass down the faith. That's one. The other thing he's saying is, all family, the whole generations, all of them, not just some age group. Well, old Tia so-and-so went to church last month. That's good enough for all 80 of us. Well, yeah, she can take care of it. I know old Tia so-and-so. She's got it covered. If you think that, my friends, I'm wasting my time. Right? He's speaking up for a holy and loving church, a hot church, a loving church. He's speaking up, advocating that women's voices would be heard in the church. I love nuns, but you know, not all women are nuns. Some of them are married. Some of them got stuff to say that you and I will never say as well as them. And guess what? Preaching in our church, people say, now, the Pope said we can't have lay preachers. What he means is they can't preach after the gospel. They can't do the pastoring thing. But that doesn't mean preaching in our church. That's what it means. It doesn't mean they can't preach after communion. It doesn't mean they can't preach in the street corner. It doesn't mean they can't preach in the parish hall. It doesn't mean that at all. When are we going to get it? There were some women in the room. They keep the church honest. They're a breath of fresh air. They look out for kids. They want the truth to be told. They don't have as much invested in the respect system that us men do. Right? Oh, that's another advocacy. Women's voice in the church. Wholesome women. Not just, you know, we get into these tangential people in the church. Wholesome, common women who love the Lord. Right? He's standing up for abused and neglected kids, for restored families, right? For marriages. Man, between a man and a woman, those are all things that he's advocating right now. Right? Okay, so that's my message.